There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Joa Carvalho, and this is Bridge the Atlantic.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic's interviews, where we get to know the people behind and in front of the creative industries. If you're new here, consider subscribing for more episodes. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith from Scotland, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm singer-songwriter and filmmaker Marcy Novelli from Canada. When I'm not making music or doing this show, I'm producing records and directing music videos. Speaking of which, if you would like to work together, just hit me up on any of my socials.
Before we jump into the interview, we just want to let you know that we are on Patreon and you can become a Bridger from as little as $1 per month. You'll gain access to our exclusive new Encore series featuring never-before-seen videos from our guests, and your support will allow us to keep bringing you weekly videos here at Bridge the Atlantic.
You can also head on over to our website to pick up one of our shirts. If you use the coupon code BTARocks, you'll receive 20% off your order as our way of saying thank you. And it will help us to invest in speech therapy so Ross stops tripping over his words in the intro.
I'm going to get you back for that later. Don't you worry. Joining us this week out of Toronto is mastering engineer Joa Carvalho. Joa began his mastering career in the mid-90s while producing records for many of Canada's groundbreaking artists of the time, and he opened his own studio, Joa Carvalho Mastering, in 2003.
In 2011, to further his passion for the ultimate in audio production, Joa partnered with three colleagues and opened the doors to Revolution Recording. To date, Joa has worked on over 2,000 records with clients including The Smashing Pumpkins, Alt-J, Fun, and Protest the Hero. We're looking forward to learning more about Joa's work and the advice he'd offer to musicians. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Joa.
Hey guys, how are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. We forgot to mention that you also work with Alexa on Fire, of course, in City and Color.
I mean, Marcio, just to be fair, there's over 2,000 names. I wasn't going to list all 2,000. That would
be a boring
episode.
Ross and I both love both of those artists. But anyways, let's jump right into the show. I want to know three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Oh gosh. I have a pretty, you know, obviously being a mastering engineer, I love audio. So I have a pretty extensive collection of music and gear and stuff. It's a bit of a problem. Cars. I love cars. I'm a bit of a problem there as well. I guess I have problems. Yeah, I think I'm a pretty okay guy, pretty nice guy to hang out with. So, is that three things?
I would say that's so. Three. I'd say you're a really nice guy. That's like the number one thing I after I met you the first time years and years ago. And then I remember that's what I said to my wife. I'm like, he's just a nice guy. That's all you, like, it's just, there's a few people you meet in your life, and I mean this honestly, that you're just like, what? Wait a minute. How can they be that nice? There must be something going on here.
But now we know he's got an audio gear and a car problem. So
it all makes sense now.
Yeah. That's what he's hiding.
At least the audio somehow works out for your career. And you have to use your car for the car test. So, you know, you can justify it all. Write it all off as a business expense.
Mm-hmm. But let's not get into that territory.
You know what? Tell us about your Grammy experience.
Well, it was certainly not expected. You know, Rose Cousins, the artist that the record was nominated for, was nominated for best engineered recording, non-classical, I guess was the category, and but Rose texted me that morning, and so she's like, hey, how's it going? The morning that I was announced, because I was oblivious. I had no idea it was even coming. So she's like, hey, you know, how's your morning going? And then like, oh, great, Rose, how's your morning going? And she totally didn't let up, you know, like she was, oh, great, you know, I'm just wondering how you're doing, you know. And so she just kept the thing going. She didn't tell me that I was nominated for this award. And so until my phone started blowing up with everybody congratulating me on stuff, and it was pretty funny. Yeah, I had no idea it was coming. But yeah, it was a crazy honor to just have that. I guess it comes down from 2,000 people that are nominated originally, and so they narrow that down to 5. So yeah, it's like I think it's a great sounding record, but I wasn't expecting it to be that. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
So Joe, for those who aren't familiar, can you maybe break down the role of a mastering engineer for us and tell us why it's important to work with a good engineer and what difference they can make to the overall sound of a track? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think most mastering engineers have been doing it for a while. So which I think generally means that they've started making records and engineering records before mastering records. So I think just the experience that brings, like I used to produce a lot of records back in the 90s, early 2000s. And so when somebody comes to me now with a record to master and I listen to the snare drum and it's like, oh, okay. I see where they're going with this. I see what they're trying to do. And so I guess experience, you know, just having some background and certainly helps. And I think most mastering engineers have had that step of starting from recording to mixing and then to mastering. So it seems to be the case. So that's a pretty big, important step, I'd say, to get somebody on doing that for you, like a mastering engineer that has that kind of qualification. So
I think that the role of a mastering engineer is the most mysterious to most musicians, though. So can you explain a little bit about what a mastering engineer actually does?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, first and foremost, I mean, when you're making a record, you've got these 10 songs, say, for example, you've got 10 songs and you're doing all those 10 songs at different times, right? So one is just going to sound a little bassier than another one. Another one might be brighter or thinner sounding. Another one might be louder than the next. So when you finish your mixes as a mix engineer, you can't just put those out and they're going to sound as loud as ever. They're going to all sound even and have the same amount of EQ and bottom end and top end on each one. So that's, you know, a mastering engineer, of course, is going to take all of those different tracks, try to make them make sense for a continuous listen. So you're starting from you want the track one to sound relative to track 10. So a big part of it is sort of this balancing act, and you know, the whole black art thing about mastering, I mean, it, swear to God, it's just EQ. You know, it's if you can EQ it correctly, that's half your battle. If the EQ is sounding correct, then you can make it loud without it freaking out. So it's, you know, that's the magic.
And isn't a big part of once you got that EQ going on, making it as loud as possible, without obviously sounding distorted. I know there's loud wars out there. Some people think, you know, it should be like it was in the 70s and not very loud. I grew up in the very loud band times, you know what I mean? Like in the 90s, yeah. And things are really getting loud in the early 2000s. I actually really like that. Even if my own material, I like it pushed as hard as possible, while sounding great. I mean, that's the thing people don't realize too, you know what I mean? Like they might listen to a mix. Why does it not sound as loud or as powerful as this artist's song? Well, because it's not mastered. It needs to be cued and pumped up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's loud is good. I'm not afraid of loud as long as you can still make it feel dynamic and loud.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where, you know, kind of doing stuff with just sort of in the box or with folks that just think you can just slap on a limiter and it's like, okay, it's mastered. You know, it needs more care than that. But again, the EQ, as soon as you can get a nice flat EQ curve, then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, you can make it loud without your compressors and limiters freaking out. And you know, that's a big part of it.
Are there any common mistakes musicians make when presenting a final mix for mastering that you've seen, you know, and what can they do to make their mix as master ready as possible?
It just comes from all sorts. And I think a lot of times too, you know, mastering engineers can say, oh, well, you know, leave me some headroom. But, you know, gosh, even that doesn't really freak me out when stuff comes in really loud or if somebody already has it the way they want it to sound, just because then you don't have to rethink the whole engineer or the producer's way of like where they want it to go already, you know. So I feel like I, you know, obviously the less a mastering engineer does, the better. Anytime mastering an engineer or producer comes back and says, wow, it's awesome, love this, love what you did, as I look back and like, I didn't do very much. So it's usually that kind of thing, right? The less you do, the better it really does sound. I mean, within limits, of course. And again, you still need that EQ to sound correct, but yeah.
We had Chris Athens on the show last year. And he had a similar thing to say. He's like, because I was complimenting one of his masters. He's like, yeah, I didn't do as much as you might think on that. Like, you know, it was an amazing producer, an amazing artist, amazing mixing engineer. And, you know, he just put, he's like, maybe I boosted the low end a little bit, did my thing. But, you know, he was very modest about it too. But, you know, having said that, I'm sure same in your case, if you listen to the non-mastered mixes, it would be a very big difference. And I think that, you know, I think you are being a bit modest.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's major. Like sometimes it sounds like there's a massive difference, but then other times it's really surprising. Certain engineers I work with, it's like, wow, like anything I do to it just makes it sound worse. You know, so I just really have to leave it alone. It's true. You know, that does happen. So sometimes it's a lot, sometimes very little.
But I suppose that comes with experience as well, knowing, you know, knowing when you need to do a lot and knowing when you don't need to do a lot. And I think that ties back kind of to what we were saying about choosing a mastering engineer. You want to choose someone that's got experience because they'll know what needs to be done and what needs not to be done. And so I think sometimes that's the hardest part is figuring out, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Experience. It is just after doing it a bunch of times, you begin to sort of hear when you get feedback from it, it's like, oh, okay, that type of approach again. Okay. A few people like that type of approach, you know, so it's, and it generally is, again, less is more for sure. You know,
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're ready to jump into our lightning round. Are you ready for 20 questions?
Sure.
All right,
I'm pretty slow, but I'll do my best.
Oh, we're gonna be fast on this one. We're gonna challenge you to be fast on this one. Okay. Here we go. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Meat or veggies?
Veggies.
Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook.
Indie or major?
Indie.
Canada or Scotland?
Oh.
Before we start the interview, he was going on about how much he loves Scotland, but you are Canadian, so...
I am. It's got to be Canada, for sure.
All right.
It was close, though. I feel it.
Yes. Oh, yes. There's love. There's
you have a lot of people to answer to if you didn't say Canada, I think.
The Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
Beatles.
Education or experience?
Experience.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Ghosts or aliens?
Aliens.
Talent or attitude?
Talents.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Curb Your Enthusiasm or The Office?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, the best show ever. City in Color or Alexis on Fire? That is a mean one.
Oh, I know. That is terrible.
That is mean. I'm impressed by Ross adding that one in there.
I'm doing City in Color's new live record today, actually. Funny enough.
There you go.
But gosh, come on. You can't ask me that.
we'll give you one time. Remember, keep that in mind for future.
Okay.
One tie. Please. You're using it now?
Kai, this is it.
All right. Okay.
Your decision. It's your decision. Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Mac or PC?
Mac. Sorry, Marcio.
I'm sorry that you can't use your, you know, your pass on this one. Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
Whale or kale?
I don't even understand that one.
Yeah, neither do we.
It just rhymes, Joe. Man, okay. It just rhymes.
Kale.
Well done. Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler.
And your final question. Your final question. Just remember that bonding that we did before the call. Ross or Marcio?
Oh, come on.
You already used that pass. You didn't use it very well.
I did not use it wisely.
He has more to lose by picking between Alexis on Fire and City of Color, though. Let's be honest.
I'm going with Ross on this one.
Oh my God.
Marcio, I'm going with Ross on this one.
Joa.
We'll talk about this afterwards.
Oh my gosh. You know? Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh, well, on that note,
I bet Brett would pick me.
Precisely.
When you didn't invite Brett on the show, did you, Marcio?
I'm totally just joking.
I actually did, but Brett's Brett, so I didn't really understand his response. Let's just put it that way. I love him.
Joe, I'd love to kind of steer things back onto the advice side of things now. So when choosing a mastering engineer, what should an artist be looking for? Like, what specific things should they listen for, or specific questions should they be asking when they're making a decision about who to work with?
I think it's like anything. If you're choosing a producer or an engineer, you'd probably just listen to the stuff that they worked on that you like, records that you like. So I think it's really just that.
Awesome. Now, to everyone tuning into this right now, if you'd like to hear more from Joa, you can head on over to our Patreon page to check out our exclusive Encore series, where we're actually going to be talking with Joa about making your mastering process as successful as possible. And this special series is just for our patrons, so don't miss it. Now, Joa, where's the best place for people to connect with you online?
Our website is good. So that's Joa Carvalho, www.joacarvalhomastering.com. Pretty simple.
Not Carvalho, like I've been calling you for the last decade. No one's corrected me. Nobody.
Joa Carvalho.
Maybe because I say Joa Carvalho. I say it so fast. Joa Carvalho. I could be saying Joa Carvalho. Joa Carvalho.
You could, but you're not.
Yes. good old fashioned phone. We love when people call us and talk to us. 416-461-3535.
Awesome.
Cool. Pretty easy to get a hold of.
We'll put all the links and everything in the show notes, so if people do want to reach you, they've got an easy way to do that.
That's right.
And as for us, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Don't forget to visit our website and pick up one of these shirts while you're there.
Looks good on your ass. As for me, I'm working on my new solo album, and you can check out my music on Spotify and iTunes and just about everywhere and anywhere you like to stream or download music. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which are all my name, Marcio Novelli.
Yeah, and I am working on websites for various artists at the moment. You can check out my work at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi and Facebook Electric Kiwi Design.
That's right. This episode was brought to you by 30 Roses, a virtual assistant and consultant to musicians and other creatives, and Social Surge. All links are in the description, so please check them out because they do what, Ross?
They keep the show alive. And if you, would like to sponsor the show, visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic. We've recently updated our rewards, which now include sponsorship at the start of our interviews, an opportunity for you to co-host an episode of Bridge the Atlantic, and of course, gain access to our new Encore series. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss any episodes, and leave us a comment and let us know what you think of the show.
Yes, Joa Carvalho. Thanks for coming to the show, man. This has been fantastic.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.